Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8. The Lord slays the king of the demons, text number 7. Shri Purana Vacha Ne Kevala Me Bhavatas Sharajan Savaibalam Balinam Chaparesham Parevare Mi Sira Jangamaye Pramadayo Yena Vasham Pranitaha. Shri Prahladu Vacha. Prahlad Maharaj replied, Na, not, Kevalam, only, me, of me, Bhavata, of yourself, Cha, and, Rajan, O great king, Saha, he, indeed, Balam, strength, Balinam, of the strong, Cha, and, Aparesham, of others, Pare, exalted, Avare, subordinate, Ami, those, Stira, Jangama, moving or non-moving living entities, Ye, who, Brahma Adaya, beginning from Lord Brahma, Yena, by whom, Vasham, under control, Pranitaha, brought. Prahlad Maharaj said, O my dear king, the source of my strength, of which you are asking, is also the source of yours. Indeed, the original source of all kinds of strength is one. He is not only your strength or mine, but the only strength for everyone. Without him, no one can get any strength. Whether moving or not moving, superior and inferior, everyone, including Lord Brahma, is controlled by the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 10:41, Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam srimad orditam evava tat tadeva gacha tvam mama te jangsa sambhavan. Know that all beautiful, glorious, and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. This is confirmed by Prahlad Maharaj. If one sees extraordinary strength or power anywhere, it is derived from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To give an example, there are different grades of fire, but all of them derive heat and light from the sun. Similarly, all living entities, big or small, are dependent on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One's only duty is to surrender, for one is a servant and cannot independently attain the position of master. One can obtain the position of master only by the mercy of the master, not independently. Unless one understands this philosophy, he is still a mudha. In other words, he is not very intelligent. The mudhas, the asses, who do not have the intelligence, cannot surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Understanding the subordinate position of living entity takes millions of births, but when one actually is wise, he surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 7:19, Bhonam janmanamante gyanabhamam pravadyate Vasudeva sarvamiti sarvahatma sadurlabha. After many births and deaths, he was actually acknowledged, surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Prahlad Maharaj was a great soul, a Mahatma, and therefore he completely surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord. He was confident that Krishna would give him protection under all circumstances. Shri Prahlada Vacha Na Kevala Me Bhavatas Charajan Savai Balam Balinam Chaparesham Parevare mi stara jangamaye pramadayo yena visham prinitaha. Prahlad Maharaj said, my dear king, the source of my strength of which you are asking is also the source of yours. Indeed, the original source of all kinds of strength is one. He is not only your strength or mine, but the only strength for everyone. Without him, one cannot get any strength. Whether moving or not moving, superior or inferior, everyone, including Lord Brahma, is controlled by the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If Krishna is God, then his instructions are perfect. And if he's God, not following his instructions means that one must be put into difficulty. So what is that difficulty? That difficulty is the three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, ignorance. And as Krishna says, Sattvam Rajas Maiti Guna Prakriti Sambhava Vibandanti Mahabaho Dehi Dehi Nam Avyam. That the material body consists of three modes, namely goodness, passion, ignorance. And when the living entity comes in contact with these modes, he becomes conditioned by them. So presently, we're conditioned by the three modes. Although we may have a vision or an understanding or an aspiration to become Krishna conscious, at the present moment, we're under the jurisdiction of the three modes. Anyone who identifies or misidentifies themselves, either with their gross or subtle body, is doing so under the influence of the three modes. In the absence of the three modes, then one will ever see everything clearly. And the three modes give us the impression that we're independent doers, and that we're independent enjoyers, and that we're independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Prahlad Maharaj, he's telling Hiranyakashipu that no one's independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So does that mean that he's responsible for our conditioned life? No. It means when we don't want to serve Krishna's instructions, then he gives us the alternative to serve the three modes. And where are the three modes? Where they function? Well, Krishna says that Indriyani Manobudhir Astidistinam Uchate Aitaravimohatyatyesham Jnana Avrityadehinam. The senses, the mind, and the intelligence are the sitting places of lust, which veils the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. As Prabhupada writes in the purport, the enemy has captured different strategic places in the body. And it all begins with hearing. We have to decide who we're going to hear from. Because if we hear from the right source with the right attitude, then we can get the right vision. The right vision meaning we can see everyone and everything in its relationship to Krishna. We can see how Krishna is controlling material nature, both the material nature and the spiritual nature. And it simply remains with us whether we want to follow the material nature or the spiritual nature. And that choice begins with who we're hearing from. Because if we hear from the wrong people, whether it be in goodness, they're in goodness, passion, or ignorance, the only thing we have to think about or to try to understand is the modes of nature. Therefore, there are so many different personalities, such as Jaimini, Gautama, Patanjali, Vaisheshika, so many exalted sages in the different modes of nature, and they give a perspective on existence. And those who are studying them, those who are hearing from them, those who are hearing from their followers, they're going to get a certain vision of reality, and according to that vision of reality, they're going to perform activities. Therefore, Krishna says, Sattvam Rajas Tamayiti, Sattvam Sanjayate, Sattva Sanjayate, Tatra Savat Nimalad Bhatna, sorry. Sattva Rupa Sarvasha, Shada Bhavati Bharata, Sharamayo yo purusho yo yas charas eva saha. Presently we're under the three modes, whether it be goodness, passion, or ignorance, or a combination of them. And according to that modes we're situated, we're going to be offered something to do. The mind will present us something to do according to those three modes. And we're going to, because the three modes give us a certain conception of life, a certain aspiration, certain desire, so many different things are molded around the three modes. There's a certain type of intelligence, certain type of determination, certain type of knowledge, certain type of work, certain type of workers, certain type of determination, all according to the modes of nature we're under. So that will be presented. And if we're not in the association of devotees, if we're not taking shelter of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then the material nature will direct us in some way. It may be good. It may be something which is praiseworthy by mundane people. It may be something passionate, which is nowadays is also praised by passionate people. Or it could be ignorant, which is praised by ignorant people. In any case, we'll try to get the appreciation of either good people or passionate people or ignorant people, and that will motivate us thinking we're making advancement. We're making advancement in the modes of nature, either goodness, passion, or ignorance, and that will simply bring us back to the material world to again struggle with the three modes. Only when we hear from the devotees and then we accept or we understand what the teachings are, and then we accept what's necessary in order to realize those teachings, such as Satam Prasangam, Mabhavirya Samvido Bhavanti Rikarana Rasayanam Kata, that only in the association of devotees do these hearing about Krishna consciousness become actually tasteful. Satam Prasangam Mabhavirya Samvido Bhavanti Rikarana, to the ear and to the heart. Only when we actually hear it from persons, usually speaking, do we actually take it seriously, or maybe more seriously than we did before. That actually enters into our ears, at least, and into our heart. Because we can read, of course, reading is the same thing as hearing, but many times we read not very attentively, and therefore we don't really hear anything. It doesn't enter into our heart, into our ear, and therefore there's no way we're actually going to become inspired by it. And even we're inspired to know exactly what we're supposed to do with it in order to realize it, what's being said. Bhavanti Rikarana Rasayanam Kata. And if it actually enters into our heart, we hear it, and it actually enters into our heart, then if we follow it, then it acts as Rasayanam. And it awakens the soul, the sleeping soul, to reality, to existence, to Krishna consciousness. And it brings us to the point of liberation. That gradually one is able to understand how the material nature is working, how we're entangled in it, how it can give us liberation if we utilize it for Krishna's service. Then Shararatira Bhakti Anukramishati. Then gradually real faith will develop, real attachment for Krishna, and eventually the perfection of life, Krishna, love of Krishna. But if we don't realize we have a choice, and our only choice is either we're going to serve Krishna, or we're going to take shelter of the modes of nature, which we're already influenced by. It's not that if we go outside Krishna consciousness, we might fall into Maya. No, we're already in Maya. The question is whether we're going to accept Krishna consciousness to get out of Maya. And as soon as we stop accepting Krishna consciousness, then we're simply under the control of the modes of nature we've acquired. And they'll simply encourage us more and more to follow the way of life, the material nature, and eventually get affirmation, appreciation from things outside of Krishna consciousness. So unless we're aware of what's the difference between Maya and Krishna consciousness, we may think that my Maya is actually a product of Krishna consciousness. And unless we understand Krishna consciousness deeply enough that we can see it, and we can understand how to apply it, and we actually apply it, then the result is it just remains on the theoretical platform and becomes dull and boring after some time. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada used to talk about licking the bottle of honey. It looks good. It all makes sense that there's honey inside the bottle, but we don't want to take the effort to actually open the jar and get into it, so we just lick the outside, and then we go home and tell them we tasted the honey from the outside. So if we don't chant our rounds carefully, we don't understand and study these books to a way of remembering them and understanding them and perceiving them and applying them, especially in transcendental relationships, the loving exchanges with the devotees, the whole thing remains just theoretical. It takes an effort, it takes intelligence. But if we don't use our intelligence, then we simply are under the influence of material intelligence. And material intelligence, in different ways, will simply inspire us to try to gratify our subtle senses or our gross senses in some way, either grossly or through profit, adoration, and distinction. Simply working for the false ego. When the soul makes the decision not to serve Krishna but to serve the senses, then lusty intelligence influences the spirit soul to acquire a false ego by which it can misidentify itself with the mind and senses for sense gratification. So we're already under the influence of the false ego. If we think, oh my God, if I stop chanting my rounds, I might fall into Maya. I may become under the influence of the false ego. No, if we're honest, we'll see we're always under the influence of the false ego. The question is whether we want to get outside the influence of the false ego by actually identifying ourselves, at least theoretically, as the servant of the servant of Krishna, and learn how to become the servant of the servant of Krishna. If we're not willing to learn how to become the servant of the servant of Krishna properly, with intelligence, then the result is we simply remain in the false ego concept of life. That even in my relationships, I may pretend that I'm your servant, but that's only so I can become your master. I pretend that I'm trying to serve you, but that's just take advantage of you, so I can control you and take your position as soon as we get done with you. That's Mayavadi philosophy. That's why Prabhupada came here, to try to free us from Mayavadi philosophy. And Srila Prabhupada was walking up the hill in New Vrindavan in 1969 with Hari Griva. Hari Griva was introducing him to what was New Vrindavan at that time, which was a hill and a little shack. So Hari Griva was helping Prabhupada up the hill. And when Prabhupada got up the hill with Hari Griva, Prabhupada took Hari Griva's hand and threw it away and said, I don't need you anymore. Go away. So Hari Griva was shocked. And then Prabhupada said, yes, this is Mayavadi philosophy. That let me help you up the hill. As soon as I get up the hill, I just throw you away. I don't need you anymore. Just go away. Now I'm on the top. We send you to the bottom. So we have to be careful that we actually are trying to become the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna under any circumstances. Not that actually my aim of life is to become the servant of the servant as long as it serves my purposes. And then as soon as I fulfill my purposes, I just get rid of this service attitude when it doesn't suit my ambitions. When I finally get to the top, I become the temple commander, or the vice president, or the zonal supervisor, or the GVC, or the initiating guru, or the avatar. When I finally get the avatar, I'm a Shaktivesha avatar. I'm recognized as the one who saved the universe, and therefore I don't need anyone else. I'm independent, I'm strong, and everyone should just serve me. My service attitude is gone. Now everyone should serve me. I've served enough to get to where I'm at, and let everyone touch my lotus feet, and so they can make progress, and one day get to my position too, where they can give up devotional service and become God. So there's a tendency in the material existence to try to become something that we're not. So part of our philosophy is either we always have a choice at any stage. Even when we come to the highest platform of goodness in the material existence, we have a choice. Either we can become a demon at that time and declare ourselves independent and the Supreme Lord, or we can remain a humble servant of the servant of Krishna and actually begin real devotional service. So that's the choice we always have to make, and an understanding we have to have, because if we don't get the deeper understanding of who I actually am, what I'm actually doing, and what the material nature is and what the spiritual nature is, we may make significant progress seemingly through the modes of nature, finally make the wrong choice and wind up in something less than pure devotional service. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Could I just ask if it is dangerous for our development in Krishna consciousness if we find it pleasing to explore the material nature?
You haven't explored the material nature enough?
I didn't mean explore that, to explore how it works and what are the rules of material nature.
Explore how the material nature works. You don't have some experience how the material nature works? Come and enjoy, and then you try to enjoy, and the material nature goes, swah, slap. Ah, what happened? Well, I'm sorry, you know. I won't do that again. Come and enjoy. This time you can enjoy, and then you try to enjoy, and slap. Ah, what happened? Oh, I'm sorry, you know. Don't worry about it. Next time it won't happen like that. That's how the material nature works. It lures you, and then smashes you. Punat punat charvate charvanana. This time, she said, it'll be different. Although it's always the same. Anything else? Okay.
Studying physics and being Krishna conscious.
Physics. Physics means if you throw an apple up, it'll come down. If you don't throw it up and eat it, it won't come down. Yes.
This about the realization, when we read in this system, how much it is dependent on us, and usually I think it is mercy of Krishna, actually.
Krishna gives the instructions, tells you what to do, and if you do it, then he gives you the mercy. And if you don't do it, then he doesn't give you the mercy. So who does it depend upon? You, following the instructions or the mercy? Depends on both of them. One follows the other. It's not that Krishna thinks, oh, you have a nice face, I'll give you the mercy. You have to do something to deserve it, then he gives you the mercy. That's why he gives the instructions. So you can try and do it, and when he sees you're trying to do it, then he may give you some mercy for your effort. And if you don't try and do it, he won't give you any mercy, because you'll be doing something else, which has nothing to do with the way of getting his mercy. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.